Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome in, everyone, to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. The Red Sox unfortunately dropped the series finale to the Sacramento Athletics, whatever you want to call them. They lose 5-4 in the bottom of the ninth. Aroldis Chapman, a rare blown opportunity there at the end of the game. Red Sox still take 2 of 3, but unfortunately dropped the finale before taking on the Yankees this weekend. I'm your host, Jason Kelly. I'm here with Chris and Doug. Guys, it's, you know, always a bummer when you can't just sweep the series. Obviously, they still did their job. Took 2 out of 3. An interesting kind of bullpen game here with Harrison being the bulk guy instead of just being the starter. Doug, I'll start with you. How'd you feel about seeing Tolley, seeing Harrison, and how Cora decided to manage the pitching today?
Yeah, I would have liked to see Tolley get another inning there. Not that he looked great. But I still would have liked to see him get a third inning. But I thought Harrison looked really good. I thought he was locating really well. He got out of a jam there. And I liked what I saw from Harrison. It was a tough game. We showed resilience. We came back a couple times. But it just was one of those games where we just couldn't hold the lead no matter who was pitching. And, it always sucks losing the third. In a series, even though you already won the series, losing the last game kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth. But I was really high on Tolley coming in because I thought, even after one bad start, I thought, one good start, one bad start. I can live with that. Let's see. Let's move forward. He didn't look great tonight, but I'm not saying I'm ready to give up on him still, but it was good to see Harrison get some innings because I really liked the way he looked. And I thought that I'd like to see him get a start now.
Yeah, Harrison was a breath of fresh air. I thought his location, the way he was locating pitches was really good. It was nice to see because, Harrison doesn't strike me as a guy who's going to be a flamethrower. He's not going to strike a ton of guys out. But he's going to nibble around the edges and he's going to try and get, his precise location of where he wants his pitches and try and hopefully get some swing and misses or just have, very low contact. It was good to see, especially considering we've all been yearning to see him. For a long time. So that part was encouraging. I'm in a similar boat as Doug when it comes to Tolley. Like, I'm not down on him, but I'm probably leaning a little bit more towards things that, like, Terry's been saying the last couple of podcasts, where it's like, I don't necessarily know how I feel about Tolley for the rest of this year, like what he's going to contribute long-term for 2025. I'm encouraged to see what he can do, getting an offseason training at the, major league level, what he could do in 2026. Because the thing is Tolley's coming in, and he had a lot of success in his first start. But as you can see, there's teams that are doing wild things to try and basically replicate his, the way he throws, the release, the angle. And let's face it, if you're going to throw 95, 98, like while that may seem fast to us, for major league hitters, if you're not locating those pitches – like they're going to feast on that. And that's the difference between the MLB level and AAA. Guys in AAA, you're going to get a lot of swings and misses or very low contact. But at the major league level, you're going to get taken out of the ballpark. And to be fair, that's what's happened to Tolley the last couple starts. So again, I'm not ready to throw in the towel for him, But, you know, it might be once we, you know, get some relief for the starters and we kind of get normalized, hopefully, with some of these injuries, send him to AAA or maybe just throw him in the bullpen.
Yeah, by no means am I down on Peyton Tolley, and it sounds like you guys aren't either. I don't think that would be the correct takeaway. It's, I mean, you know, this guy was massively accelerated to the major league level this year, mostly because of injuries. And the one thing we knew about him coming up is that the fastball is good. The fastball is going to play. A lot of that has to do with his size and, you know, the extension that he gets. But he has to work on his secondary pitches, and we're seeing that, right? Guys are just kind of sitting on his fastball because they know eventually he's going to get down the count because he can't locate his secondary pitches right now. They're going to sit on the fastball, and they're going to take him deep. That's what happened today. And look, this Oakland or Sacramento lineup, I hate having to do that. I'm so sick of it. But this Athletics lineup, they've got young guys who can hit, you know, and then you got Rooker in the middle there who is a bona fide stud, power hitter. So they're not a joke lineup. So for anyone thinking that he was just going to cruise through the Athletics lineup, think again, because they've got some good young players there. They're still a ways away from competing, but once they get some pitching in there, that team's going to be a little bit dangerous. So I'm not surprised that Tolley got knocked around a little bit. I'm not sure I wanted to see him for another inning, though. I get what you're saying, Doug. Like, you know, he's an intriguing young guy. You want to see if he can kind of figure it out, you know, work his way out of it. But it felt like it was just going to be another inning of the same kind of thing where he's going to let the leadoff guy get on. He's going to fall behind a count and then get himself in trouble. And I think the Red Sox, knowing they've got the day off tomorrow, knowing they had Harrison waiting his bulk, they didn't have to stretch him too much. And with a kid like this who, again, just is, you know, been really accelerated to the major league level, I don't mind them kind of handling him with kid gloves for this game. I feel like it made sense. So tough outing for Tolley, but as you guys mentioned, Kyle Harrison was really the spotlight in this one. You know, if you had to take away a good thing from a loss, Kyle Harrison looked very good and kind of reminded me a little bit of what you saw from Connelly early. Early has better velocity than Harrison, but same thing. They mix up their pitches and they locate. And there's always a spot for guys like that on a major league roster. So it feels like whatever they've been working on with Harrison, it's working down there in Worcester, and he's able to show that today. And that's a good thing because he's only 23, and you trade away Rafael Devers, and this guy was, I think, the highlight of what you got back. So if he can kind of give you a bright spot here and look like something that you can maybe fit into your rotation going forward, you know, for the future, I think that'd be really good.
Yeah, and I think he at least, you know, earned a look at as a starter. You know, I think he at least earned a start with that outing. He looked really good. And, you know, when you're that young and you have your secondary pitches working, early showed it. You know, when you have more than one pitch and you're young and there's not a much scouting report on you, you can be very effective.
Yeah, I think the one thing I would say that's kind of interesting is that Early got the start yesterday kind of out of nowhere, like gets the call up middle of the day, very similar to Harrison. They both got their call ups in the middle of the day. The difference is Early got the start, which literally came out of nowhere, whereas we've been expecting Harrison for a long time now. I was kind of disappointed that he didn't get the same treatment where it's like call him up and give him the start from the beginning. I mean, if there's two other things to kind of hovered over this game, was the fact that runners in scoring position continues to just absolutely kill this team. I mean, George put a comment in there as far as it like haunting us, and it has this whole season. And you just have to wonder, you can get away with it in a series against the A's, although we didn't get away with it against the Diamondbacks, right? And I think that's the frustrating part. It's like, there's series we win, and there's always like that one game, to your point, Doug, where it's like it's somewhat slightly defeating to not sweep when you feel like you could, because the opportunities were there. Like, it was ripe for the taking to take this series. And there's been a lot of them this year where we let teams off the hook that we could sweep, or we lose series that we shouldn't lose, which is frustrating. And then Slayton, and Weitzer, to be honest with you, both of them did not look sharp. Slayton especially, I mean, he only went a third of an inning and gave up two earned runs. And again, it's not all gloom, it's not doom, but you just have to wonder with certain teams. Like, I think this Yankee series is going to be huge. It's really going to tell us, like, are the Sox, especially post-Roman Anthony, are they going to be able to sustain this, like, even going back and forth where, you know, you win when you shouldn't win and then maybe you lose when you shouldn't, but, like, can they sustain that? Because I think if they get beat by the Yankees here, it could change the tide and really how this season turns going forward.
Yeah, definitely.
Big one coming up this weekend for sure. Go ahead, Doug.
The on Weissert and Slayton. I mean, Slayton's gotten to the point where I just don't feel good seeing him on the mound. I'm not at that point with Weissert, but Slayton's just tough. He does need work, and you know, he just hasn't looked good since he's come back. And maybe they rushed him back. I don't know. He's gone for a while, but he just hasn't looked good since he come back. I think we all had high hopes for him at the beginning of the season. And so, you know, it's there. I don't think he's, you know, but it might be a next year thing when we really see him getting back to form, because it doesn't look like he has it right now.
He just missed so much time. I mean, you know, it's hard for, especially if you're going to be a late inning, high leverage reliever, you miss that much time. And then you got to go back in there into, you know, big games like this against, again, a pretty decent lineup in what's a very hitter friendly park. It's just, you know, you're kind of asking for trouble there. So I still think you're going to need Slayton down the stretch. You'll need him in the playoffs, but I don't think he's your eighth inning guy. I think it's still Whitlock, Chapman. And then for the seventh, I think it'll be matchup dependent. You know, maybe it's Justin Wilson, you know, if they got lefties up or something like that. Weissert, I don't feel great whenever he's on the mound. I know the numbers aren't bad. I just always feel like there's going to be a blown opportunity whenever Weissert comes into a close game. I don't know why. He just doesn't seem like a very clutch pitcher to me. So
when Weissert comes on, it reminds me when we had Kimbrel. Like, even though the numbers always looked good, when he came in, I was literally just like holding on for dear life, holding my breath, just waiting for something terrible to happen.
Yeah, you're always waiting for the big home run that he's going to give up or the double down the line. It just, I don't know. I don't feel very confident with him. So it was a tough game for the bullpen, which we haven't said that in a while. And then the biggest one of all was Chapman there in the ninth. I mean, gives up the double right out of the chute. And, you know, you give up a double with no outs, it's basically like the ghost runner situation. Like, the home team is going to have all the advantage in the world there. And Athletics took advantage. They did, you know, move the runner over, and then Lawrence Butler, you know, with that clutch RBI hit. And he's a good player. He's going to do that. So it sucks to see Chapman finally falter, but we were saying it in the war room. I think, you know, Doug, you were the one that said it's like, yeah, it was bound to happen. It was, and it's okay to say that. Like, Chapman was on an unreal run there with the scoreless streak, and, you know, the numbers were fantastic, but it is going to happen. It could be worse. You could be having, you know, Toronto bullpen issues. So is it the end of the world? No. But it does go to show you that, like, as good as Chapman has been, you can't always just 100% rely on him to slam the door, you know, in a tie game or a one-run game. Like, this is where you need insurance runs and you need just a little bit more from your offense.
Yeah, he is not the reason we lost this game. Even though he was on the mound when it happened, we had our opportunities. Again, the runners in scoring position is why we lost this game. But, you know, that was the first thing Cora said, by the way. Like, this was bound to happen and happened. Now we just go back to, you know, trying to start another streak, right? And I think that's what his focus has to be. I mean, if you're going to blow one game over a course of 30, I'll take that any day of the week. It's a great point, Jason. Like, when you give up, and it's going to happen, especially when you throw like he does, like, you're going to get some misses. I'm surprised he hasn't been taken out of the ballpark more often this season with as hard as he throws, and someone running into one, which is a testament to him and his control and location and fixing those ailments that he had when he was a Yankee, because he was so wild with his pitches. But you made a point about the fact that, like, yeah, the guy gets a double and it's basically your ghost runner. It's like extra innings in that moment. And the Sox have not been good in those moments, regardless of who's on the mound. And it really speaks to the importance of, as we get down the stretch, that's the tough stretch. Because again, like, I know there's a lot of people out there like, oh, the Sox have a pretty easy schedule. Well, we've kind of gone through the easy stretch. We just went through three. We went 3-3 on that stretch, 500 baseball. And I think the stretch is going to get tougher with teams like the Yankees, the Tigers, the Blue Jays on there, and then again, the A's. That home field in that first wild card, because I could just see that scenario that we watched today happening in the wild card. And if we're on the road, like, that's the easiest way for the biggest, you know, weapon that we have, which is Aroldis Chapman and Whitlock, to all of a sudden be eviscerated in one pitch. And now all of a sudden it's like, we really don't have an advantage. And a series can turn when it only takes two games to go home.
Yeah, the home field advantage is huge. I mean, think about your opponent this weekend. Right now, you know, depending on wild card matchups, you may not see the Yankees in a wild card matchup, but let's say you did and you were on the road at Yankee Stadium, tie game, and, you know, Chapman has to come in. I mean, you know, Anthony Volpe could, you know, practically bunt and hit one over that stupid right field wall. and that's how you lose, right? That's how you get knocked out of the playoffs. Like, that's why home field is so important. And, you know, look, to be fair, Yankee fans can say the same thing about our ballpark. They don't want us to have home field advantage if it came to that, because, you know, Sadon could wrap another 300 footer over on the pesky pole and bye bye Yankees. So yeah, the home field is such a huge advantage. And you saw it tonight, as you mentioned, Chris, like, having that advantage of, you know, the ghost runner, which, you know, they don't do that in the playoffs, but just having that runner in scoring position with nobody out, that kind of scenario where, you know, just fundamental baseball, move them over, hit a sack fly, boom. You know, you win, you don't have to worry about it. So this is why this month is so important. And again, you got those Yankees coming up this weekend. They've been playing good baseball. You know, they had a little bit of a rough July, but August they went 16-12, kind of got themselves right. Judge got himself healthy. He's back to being Aaron Judge of old, unfortunately for us. They're, you know, 4-2 so far in September, but it's not going to be easy this weekend. You may have a little bit of a pitching advantage. You don't have to face Rodon, which is great. But you still have to face Fried. You still have to face Luis Heal. They've beaten up on Heal before. I think the third guy is Will Warren, who they crushed last time out. So that's also in our advantage. But Yankees are not going to take their foot off the gas because they want the division just as badly as we do. And this is a big, big weekend. Do you guys feel like because of the pitching, we have the advantage, we should at least take two of three, or do you think that we might be in trouble?
I think you have to lean that way with the way it's been going, especially the way Bayo is the best pitcher ever against the Yankees. I mean, you have to give him some credit, I guess, to give him to believe in him a little bit. But you know, with our three guys going, I think you have to at least, if you're not going to say, you know, oh well, I feel great, you have to at least feel pretty good and at least see how this season has gone. And, you know, the proof of this season is that they will be good against them, you know. And obviously you can't tell what's going to happen, but what we've seen and what we know has happened is they've pitched very well against them, and they've given us no reason to believe otherwise.
Yeah, I think this is the type of series, like I said before, that could really turn the tide for both teams. And I think it honestly, like, we have more to lose for so many reasons. And I think number one, we have our three best starters going in the series. I don't necessarily know if the Yankees do. I haven't looked at the matchups yet. I believe I saw a couple of TBDs on there when I had looked a couple hours before. It's been hectic. But if we don't take the series with our three best and they don't have their three best, talk about a confidence boost for the Yankees, right? They beat us with our three best, without their three best, getting ready to go into a playoff series more than likely where we're going to face them. And then if it doesn't go our way in the Bronx, I mean, everything that we've done, because even if we got swept, we still win the series looks completely different though entering the playoffs. Yeah. All momentum gone.
Yeah, you need to win two out of three.
But, you know, and then if we do win, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you're expected to win and you can go to the playoffs and everything that you've done in the regular season could mean nothing. You know, it's tough. I think the Red Sox clearly have an advantage against the Yankees if it was a 5 or 7 game series. That much I can tell you. In a 3 game series with Fried and Rodon, yeah, we have Crochet, we've got Bayo. I have faith in them, but all it takes is a pitcher's duel and then just one bullpen player to give up a hit that cost you. Right. So you don't know. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But again, we have to take two out of three. And if we don't, things could get ugly for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, at least according to ESPN, the pitching matchups line up as Giolito versus Heal, Bayo versus Fried, Crochet versus Warren. So as far as at least as ESPN is concerned, no Rodon. In fact, I think someone, Jules in the chat, just said Rodon's pitching today. So definitely won't see him. And you're at home. That's the biggest advantage you have with this series, that you're at home. Red Sox have been a very good home team. Yankees have been an okay road team. They're not terrible. They're still over 500 on the road, but not nearly as good as they are in their, you know, little kids stadium over there. So you have every advantage. You've got the pitching matchups. You've got the extra day of rest worked into there as well. You know, hopefully Romy is healthy for that Fried start. You know, he can get back in the lineup. Maybe, I don't know if Abreu is on track to be activated this weekend. Probably not, but who knows? That could change. But either way, like, you've got the advantage, and you made a good point, Chris. It's like, even if they take two of three, or even if they sweep, it's sort of like, well, yeah, you should have swept them. You've been better than the Yankees all year. As you said, even if they sweep us, we would still win the season series. So you've been better than them all year. You can't suddenly drop below them now. Because if they do sweep you, then, you know, you're still home. These same Athletics come back in, but now you've got the back end of your rotation. You might have another Toley start. Who knows if Early, you know, gets another start. And by then, the Athletics have seen these guys already. So they've got the tape on them. They've got the book on them. You know, and again, they've got a good offense. They might jump on you. So you're in a tough spot here where you really do need to get the job done against New York, because you don't want to be losing two of three, or God forbid, getting swept, and then having to face that Athletics team coming in saying, oh, well, we know you're pitching. We put up runs against you before. We'll do it again. And this Connelly Early kid, yeah, he's not striking out 11 of us this time. We're going to jump on him. So it's a tough spot, but I think they've got every advantage. They should be able to take care of business. In terms of the rest of the schedule, is there anyone else that, like, scares you down the stretch? Like, are you scared of the Toronto series? Are you scared of Tampa Bay, like, maybe, you know, playing spoiler a little bit, or do you feel pretty confident?
Spoiler in the fact of dropping us down, like, what, to the third? Like,
yeah, just in terms of kind of, you know, I think the Rays are on the outside looking in at the moment. Like, they might say, hey, you know, we play these guys tough. We're going to, you know, play spoiler and get them out of that wild card spot.
Go ahead, Doug.
I wouldn't say these teams, like, they don't scare me, but I'm not scared of that. I think two is our floor right now. And I still like our chances to be the wild card seed, that is, the first wild card seed. You know, obviously this Yankee series is really going to be everything about that. Even though we still have the Blue Jays, I still think, you know, this Yankee series is really probably going to determine the wild card. But I still like our chances. I like our chances in the Yankee series. So with that, I would still like our chances to finish at the first seed. The teams don't, you know, I don't think any teams really in the league are, like, scary teams. I don't, you know, they're good teams and they're better than us, but there's no juggernauts that I'm really, you know, fearful of if we have the right pitching matchups going into it.
I have a much more convoluted answer. Shocker. I think if we were playing for something big, I'd be more worried about, like, the Rays, the A's, teams like that, more so than the Jays and the Yankees. Like, if somehow, let's just say we swept the Yankees and we somehow go into a situation where if we were to sweep the Jays, we would get the division. I'd be more confident in something like that. I could see the Sox sweeping them, getting the lead, and then blowing two or three in the next series to some crap team. And it would literally be everything that's happened this season to this point, where you go in there and you win a series or sweep a series, you're like, oh my God, we're on top of the world, and then lose to a team that we shouldn't. Like, I could see that happening. I would be more worried about that. Now, as far as dropping, I know I made a pretty bold and wild hot take last week as far as that there would be a better chance we'd be fighting for the third wild card than getting the division. Which, I mean, to be honest, I still think we are closer to a third wild card than winning the division at this point. But even though the numbers don't say it, just my gut says that. But the crazy part is the way that the Astros have kind of fallen a little bit apart the last couple of weeks, like, if I'm the Rangers, with the way that the Mariners have played and the Astros, like, they might not even be going, like, for wild card three. They might just try and go for the division because they actually have a better shot at that than going for wild card three. Right. As crazy as that sounds, and the numbers may not support it. Like, I just feel that way at this point. And I think the good thing for us is that if the Tigers kind of take care of business here against the Yankees, because the Blue Jays have kind of scuffled, the Astros have scuffled, there is a chance now the Tigers won't have anything to play for at the end because they might just be clear head and shoulders that first seed going into that, and it won't matter because everyone else is going to be fighting for their division title and they'll already have it wrapped up and the first seed. So I don't necessarily – I'm not that scared of that series. I'd be scared of it if the Tigers needed it. But yeah, I think those are the scenarios where I'm more worried about those teams that could hurt us that aren't the best, like the Rays and the A's, is if we're playing for something big. If it's like our lives are on the line, I'd actually have more confidence if we were going to miss the playoffs or needed to hold on to it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That's a good point.
Yeah, I'm actually with you on your take about, I think they're closer to the third wild card than they are the division, because that Blue Jays team, I said it, I think it, you know, around August, I said, you know, with that bullpen, you can take the division. And this is when the Red Sox were playing really well. They're winning every single series. And I just looked at Toronto and I'm like, it's not going to last. That bullpen's horrific. George Springer's going to get tired at some point. Like, Gausman's not going to keep doing what he's doing. I've changed my mind on that. The Blue Jays, every year there's a team like this. The Blue Jays are this year's team that has a horseshoe stuck up their ass. They are just not going to let go of the division, despite their horrific bullpen, despite George Springer being 1,000 years old, despite their pitching rotation being old. Like, they're just not letting go of the division. Like, they'll give up 9 runs by the second inning, and they'll win 11-9. It's just, they're just one of those frustrating teams. So, yeah, I think the division might be out of play at this point. Obviously, you still got a 3-game set against them, so we'll see where we are at that point. But yeah, I'm not really concerned. I think Detroit, like you said, by the end of the month there, that they're the last series that the Red Sox have on their schedule. They might have nothing to play for, which at that point, they'll be sitting Skubal. They'll be sitting a lot of their other guys. Like, I don't think that's really going to be an issue. As long as the Red Sox take care of business here and they don't just go on a massive losing streak, I agree with Doug. I think your floor is second or third wild card. I don't think you're going to drop out of it. At this point, you've done a good job in terms of getting into that position, building in a little bit of a cushion between the other teams that are, you know, on the outside looking in. It's going to take something catastrophic. And I don't see this Red Sox team going on a catastrophic losing streak. Their pitching's just too good. When your pitching's this good, it doesn't happen. If you're a team like, you know, that is all offense and you have no pitching, then it can happen, right? Because if the offense goes cold, you're screwed. But I don't think Giolito's going to start giving up 6-7 runs a start. I don't think Crochet is going to falter. And, you know, his last start was a big indicator of that. A lot of people thought, is he starting to tire out? Are the innings starting to catch up to him? I think he proved the other night he's feeling just fine. And that last start before that was a blip on the radar. So, and you'll get some guys back here too. Abreu's going to come back. Romy's going to be fine. Your bullpen is still really good. So, yeah, I think the rest of your schedule, it shouldn't worry anybody. The Red Sox should not lose this wild card spot. They should still get in. I don't think anything catastrophic is going to happen. But this weekend will be a big indicator because, again, you've been better than this Yankees team all season long. Don't start losing to them now. Don't give them the momentum heading into the playoffs. Like, they sweep you this weekend, especially at Fenway, that's, you know, that's going to be devastating. So it starts with taking care of business this weekend, and I like the matchups. If ESPN's got it correct, I think that, you know, I like the Red Sox pitching matchups. I think you can at least take 2 of 3. The only game that would maybe concern me is Bayo versus Fried, if that is the matchup. Because, yeah, the Red Sox have a good, you know, lefty killer lineup, supposedly. But, you know, what if Ref Snyder's just off that day? What if Romy is still not fully healthy? Like, and what if Bayo does struggle again? You know, his last start wasn't that great. So that might be the only game, you know, coming up this coming weekend that concerns me. Otherwise, I think at least 2 of 3, but I would go for the sweep.
Yeah, quick shout out to Rob Ref Snyder too. He's just been crushing.
Yeah.
He's just been consistent all year. It's like you've been waiting for him to drop off, and he just hasn't. He's just been great all year. He's one of those guys that, like, if you were watching this game with an A's fan, they'd be like, "Who was that?" You'd be like, "This guy." You'd be like, you'd be like, "Please, Rob Refsnyder was meant for this moment." Like, I just felt that way. Like, he, even with a righty on the mound, I felt good with him coming to the plate. And I'd like to see him get DH spots more over Yoshida, maybe, even if it is a righty on the mound.
Yeah, I agree with you, because the thing with Rob Refsnyder is he's a professional, and he's going to put together quality at bats. Like, that's the one thing you can always say about Rob Refsnyder. He's not going to go in there, hit the ball, ground it out weakly to second base like Yoshida, which is like every other at bat. And I'm not trying to pick on Yoshida, but, like, I can't always say that he's giving us quality at bats. It's like half of them are a foregone conclusion that it's going to go right to second base at 3 miles an hour. And he doesn't even run fast, so he's not going to beat it out. So Rob Refsnyder, he's going to work the pitcher. He's going to have long at bats. And the thing that I like about Rob Refsnyder, tongue twist right there, is that when he's down 0-2, he doesn't weakly go down on 3 pitches. He will fight pitches off. And even if he gets out, he'll make the guy throw 10, 12 pitches to get him out, even starting down 0-2. Which I feel like there's a couple guys, Yoshida being one of them, down 0-2, it's like, all right, well, this is going to be 3 or 4 pitches at most. And it's the little things like that with the Red Sox, that those extra pitches are the difference, especially against some of the teams that we have to face, like the Yankees and some of these teams that don't have the greatest and most consistent bullpens. Like, get to the bullpen early. If you can do that, like, that's the quickest and easiest way to fix some of the ailments the Sox have, especially with runners in scoring position, because these bullpens, they're not juggernauts, a lot of these teams. The bullpens that are really good are in the National League. And you know what? If you got to worry about that means you're in the World Series, and we'll worry about it then. And that's a good problem to have. But in the American League, with the exception of maybe the Tigers, like, the bullpens are not great. And the Rangers, which, who probably aren't going to make the playoffs. But, tip of the hat to Rob Refsnyder.
Yeah, 100%. One last thing I wanted to ask you guys before we wrap up here. Do you think Cora was a little too aggressive with Hamilton there in the ninth, trying to steal that base with nobody out, or would you have done the same?
I would have done the same. And to be honest, he looked safe to me.
It's close.
It was close. It was really close. It was very, very close. But, you know, I'm big on, let's get this guy into scoring position. I'm big on, you know, bunting a guy over to third. You know, sometimes I'm not like, you know, the Red Sox aren't known for small ball throughout, you know, our history, but when it calls for it, I think there's a time and place that, you know, sometimes you need to steal a bag, and you got a guy like David Hamilton for that reason. And it was a bang, bang play. You know, I don't regret that call.
Yeah, I don't regret it. And listen, hindsight's 20/20, right? Like, right. In hindsight, you look at the fact that, like, there was a passed ball 2 pitches later after he got thrown out. He ends up walking Nervais. He would end up at second. So, but the thing is even if he ends up getting on there, if Nervais walks, more than likely you're not pinch running for Nervais at that point. So Hamilton ends up scoring, tying the game. More than likely we maybe get the same outcome anyway. So I don't know really what the difference is. But the one thing I would say is that when you're gonna steal, it had, like, especially with someone like David Hamilton, I feel like you have to try and do it on the first pitch. Like, everyone's expecting it. And I think sometimes it's actually to an advantage, because the guy's so overprepared that's where they kind of screw up, because they're thinking about it. As soon as it was a foul ball before he went, he tried to steal, it was a foul ball, and then he ended up getting caught stealing, correct?
Yeah.
I think when it was a foul ball, I would have tried to wait a couple of more pitches. And I know that we have the benefit of obviously knowing, but, like, I always feel that way. If you're not going the first, I don't like stealing back-to-back pitches. Because, like, now they've got a good look on your jump. They also have the ability now, like, he threw a perfect pitch to throw a guy out. It was a strike right down the middle. Like, the guy was already getting up out of crouch position, and it took a perfect throw, and he got one, because they kind of all expected it at that point. So I maybe would have waited, try to catch him off guard, let him think that you're kind of scared. But, I mean, again, it's not the reason why we lost. It's a good question.
It is, but I think it's hard to, you know, complain when it's that close of a play.
No, I agree. You know what I mean? It wasn't like he was out by a mile. Agree. It's fundamentally.
No. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying in general, like it, with that close of a play, like you could say, you know, but it took the perfect throw to get him out.
Yeah, I agree. And I agree with your point, Chris. Like sometimes it's better just go on the first pitch because what the Athletics were doing is as soon as Narvaez fouled that off, okay, now, you know, you're in a one strike count. They know Hamilton wants to steal and they know that Narvaez is going to let him. So yeah, that's why he threw it right down the middle. It's like, he's going to take the strike. They're not trying to hit and run with Carlos Narvaez. So, you know, he threw it right down the middle, makes it a lot easier to throw Hamilton out. Even if he doesn't throw him out, now you got Narvaez in a two strike count. So yeah, it was just a little bit too long to wait. Again, you know, like you guys said, hindsight's 20/20. Usually Hamilton swipes that bag. It was super close. But you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, the reason we examine it is because like plays like that are going to come up. Those plays are going to come up in the postseason and down the stretch here. So maybe, you know, maybe they learn from it. Maybe they take Chris's advice and say, you know what, just go on the first pitch.
Well, it's what Story's done well all season. Story has been going on the first pitch. And when there's a foul ball, if you notice, he'll dance around and make the pitcher like throw back to first. He almost kind of baits him. And he very rarely goes on the next two pitches. He'll go on that third pitch, or if there's, you know, if there's some balls in there, obviously, and not strikes being thrown, maybe the fourth. But that's the one thing I do like about Story. He seems like he has a plan when he's going to steal a bag. And listen, he's been better than anyone on our team this year at swiping bags.
It's hard to throw base stealers out. Well, if you have a really fast guy there, it's hard. It's hard. I always like, you know, putting the pressure on the catcher there. It's hard to throw a perfect throw like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully plays like that work out better for us in the future. But nonetheless, we've got big series this weekend coming up against the Yankees. We'll be with you for the conclusion of Friday's game. After the game, we'll be back on here. So everyone, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Yankees series. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
Go Sox.
Hell yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.